preacher today is Francis Wong, which thrills me to no end that I get to listen to Francis preach. And Francis wanted to lift up an announcement about Pacific and Asian American Ministries Sunday, and that will lead us into our opening prelude. So, Francis?
Good morning, everybody. Today has been labeled by our denomination as PAM Sunday. And PAM stands for Pacific Islander and Asian American Ministries. It was organized in 1974 in San Francisco from representatives from different regions throughout our country. And the vision was to unite and move forward at the national, regional, and local level as Pacific Islanders and Asian Americans in the United Church of Christ. PAM was voted into existence by the 10th General Synod in 1975, and it continues to address institutional racism within the church and society, and is concerned with issues of human rights and justice, and helps to support and strengthen clergy and lay leadership at the local level. So join me now in this prayer that is being prayed throughout our denomination today. O God, ke kahu hipa mai ka'i, our good shepherd, you have journeyed with us even as our ancestors have traveled across the continents and oceans of this world. You placed us on lush islands. You have made us lie down in green pastures. You have been with us as we walk through the deepest valleys of migration and movement, as refugees of war, economic necessity, and displacement. On this PAM Sunday, we give you thanks and pray for the Pacific Islander and Asian American ministries of our United Church of Christ. For 46 years, strengthening the voices of Pacific Islander and Asian American churches, taking seriously God's call to bind in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. Help us and teach us to practice right relationship based on respect, sovereignty, self-determination, and religious freedom of all Indigenous peoples within our church and global community. We pray for the land and the people, for healing and hope and true reconciliation, ho'okui kahi, which is still to come. Help us to welcome everyone to your table, that goodness and mercy might follow us all the days of our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Amen.
We gather today on this most amazing spring day. We gather to be able to be the people of God, as Bishop Michael Curry from the Episcopal Church calls us, the outpost of the beloved community. There is so much that this world needs of our beloved community. And so let us gather ourselves and gather our hearts, gather our spirits together as one, as we come to worship God and be with one another, to be and to form that beloved community. Let us be in worship.
Good morning. Please join in the call to worship on your screen. Come, walk with God this day.
We seek places of peace and rest from the stresses of our lives.
God, our good shepherd, will lead you to places where your soul may be restored.
We come, sometimes fearful of the hostilities of the world.
In the midst of all the turmoil, the shepherd will provide for your needs abundantly.
Surely these wonders will heal and restore our spirits. Amen.
Please join us in the gathering prayer. Thank you, loving God, for bringing us to this time of worship. Refresh us and heal us again. Remind us of the many ways in which you have blessed our lives with your abundant love and your presence. Guide our hearts and our spirits that we may hear your words and our souls may be stirred into active service to your people. In the name of the Good Shepherd who leads us to life, we pray. Amen.
Last week, as you know, was a week that we focused on Earth Sunday. And we had too much stuff for Earth Sunday last week. We had more videos than we could use. And we had this great story called The Great Kapok Tree that we wanted to share, but there just wasn't space. So move it to the next Sunday, which is this Sunday. So I want to share this wonderful story called The Great Kapok Tree by Lynn Cherry. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And I encourage you, apparently you can find it actually online, a PDF of it, because that's where we got these pictures. So you can just Google it and find it. So it's a story that begins, and Chris, let's just keep it right here for right now, with two men who are walking into a rainforest. And moments before they arrived, that rainforest had been alive with the sounds of squawking birds and howling monkeys. But all of a sudden, when the men walked into the forest, all was quiet as the creatures watched those two men and wondered why those two men had come. The larger man stopped and he pointed to a great giant kapok tree, and then he left. Okay, Chris? And the smaller man took out his axe, and you can see on the picture there, he carried and struck the trunk of the tree, whack, whack, whack. The sound of the blows rang through the forest. The wood of the tree was very hard, chop, chop, chop. The man wiped off the sweat that ran down his face, whack, chop, whack, chop. And soon the man grew tired. He sat down to rest at the foot of that great kapok tree, because it's a lot of work to try and cut down a massive tree like that. And before he knew it, the heat and the hum of the forest had lulled him to sleep. Next. And a boa constrictor lived in that kapok tree, and he slithered down to its trunk to where the man was sleeping. And he looked at the gash the axe had made in the tree, and then the huge snake slid very close to the man and hissed in his ear, "Señor, this tree is a tree of miracles. It is my home where generations of my ancestors have lived. Do not chop it down." Next, an amazing thing happened. A bee buzzed in the sleeping man's ears. "Señor, my hive is this kapok tree, and I fly from tree to tree and flower to flower collecting pollen. In this way, I pollinate the trees and flowers through the rainforest. You see, all living things depend on one another." Next, it wasn't just a bee, but instead a troop of monkeys scampered down from the canopy of the kapok tree. And they chattered to the sleepy man, "Señor, we have seen the ways of man. You chop down one tree, they come back for another and another. The roots of these great trees will wither and die, and there will be nothing left to hold the earth in place. When the heavy rains come, the soil will be washed away and the forest will become a desert." And it wasn't just the monkeys. What came next was a toucan. A macaw and a cock of the rock flew down from the canopy. "Señor," squawked the toucan, "you must not cut down this tree. We have flown over the rainforest and seen what happens once you begin to chop down the trees. Many people settled on the land. They set fires to the underbrush, and soon the forest disappears where once there was life and beauty. Only black and smoldering ruins remain." Next to come, following the toucan, was a bright and small tree frog that crawled along the edge of a leaf, and in a squeaky voice he piped in the man's ear,
"Signor, a ruined rainforest means ruined lives, many ruined lives. You will leave many of us homeless if you chop down this great kapok tree."
Well, it wasn't just the frogs that came, but then it was a jaguar. Had been sleeping along a branch in the middle of the tree, and because his spotted coat blended into the dappled light and shadows of the understory, no one had noticed him. Now he leapt down and padded silently over to the sleeping man, and he growled in his ear, "Señor, the kapok tree is home to many birds and animals. If you cut it down, where will I find my dinner?" And after the jaguar, there came four tree porcupines who swung down from branch to branch and whispered to the man, "Señor, do you know what we animals and humans need in order to live? Oxygen. And señor, do you know what trees produce? Oxygen. If you cut down the forest, you will destroy that which gives us all life." And following the porcupines, there were several anteaters who climbed down the kapok tree with their young clinging to their backs. The unstriped anteater said to the sleeping man, "Señor, you are chopping down this tree with no thought for the future. And surely you know what happens tomorrow depends on what you do today. The big man tells you to chop down a beautiful tree. He does not think of his own children who tomorrow must live in a world without trees." And then came a three-toed sloth, had begun climbing down from the canopy when the men first appeared, but we know the pace that sloths take. Only now did he reach the ground, plodding ever so slowly over to the sleeping man. She spoke in her deep and lazy voice, "Señor, how much is beauty worth? Can you live without it? If you destroy the beauty of the rainforest, on what would you feast your eyes?" And then a child from the Yanomamo tribe who lived in the rainforest knelt over the sleeping man, and he murmured in his ear, "Señor, when you awake, please look upon us all with new eyes." The man awoke with a start. Before him stood on the next screen. Before him stood with a rainforest child, and all around him staring were the creatures who depended upon the great kapok tree. What wondrous and rare animals they were. And the man looked about and saw the sun streaming through the canopy. Spots of bright light. Next slide, please, Chris. Spots of bright light glowed like jewels amidst the dark green forest. Strange and beautiful plants seemed to dangle in the air, suspended from the great kapok tree, and the man smelled the fragrant perfume of their flowers. He felt the steamy mist rising from the forest floor, but he heard no sound, for the creatures were strangely silent. And then, on the last slide, the man picked up his axe. He swung back his arm as though to strike the tree, and suddenly he stopped. He turned and he looked at the animals and the child. Last slide. He hesitated and he dropped the axe and walked out of the rainforest. And so ends the story of the great kapok tree. May we, in its spirit, that spirit of love for all that God has created, give our blessings to one another, some of God's most wondrous creations, as we pass the peace of Christ to one another. Peace be with you all.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to the whole Crossroads community in Zoom land. Really happy to be here with you this morning. Please join me in prayer. This one is based on a word of the day from grateful.org. Let us pray. Abiding light of the universe, gratefulness offers us a merciful path for walking through life with our eyes and hearts wide open. It supports us to attend to the potency of what is life-affirming, beautiful, and moving in our exact moments of brokenheartedness. It invites us to sit with paradox in more fully noticing the magnificence of humanity as we face the mire. We ask now that you open wide our minds and souls to receive your word. Amen. I had an exact moment of brokenheartedness when I learned of Dante Wright's killing by a police officer after a pretextual traffic stop. That brokenheartedness led me to choose Psalm 23 from our lectionary as today's scripture reading. You know that one. It's the Lord is my shepherd one, the comforting one, the one that we use a lot at memorials and funerals. This morning, we will hear Bobby McFerrin's version of Psalm 23. He wrote it in dedication to his mom. As you listen, please focus on the movement words of that psalm. Chris will now play that video for us, Bobby McFerrin's Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. She makes me lie down in green meadows, beside the still waters she will lead. She restores my soul, she rights my wrongs. She leads me in a path of good things and fills my heart with songs. Even though I walk through a dark and dreary land, there is nothing that can shake me. She has said she won't forsake me. I'm in her hand. She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes. She anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in her house forever, forever and ever. Glory be to our mother and daughter, and to the Holy of Holies, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
This sermon is again, but it really should be again and again and again and again ad nauseum. After Dante's Wright's killing, even more young Black Americans have been killed. Even more Asian Americans have been harmed. We can't keep up. Our broken hearts have no respite. I've given up remembering names, not because I've become callous, but just because of the sheer numbers. And that exact moment, at that exact moment of my brokenheartedness, I did not have a crisis of faith, but I sure had a crisis of, am I doing any good in my faith in this world? A crisis of, what am I doing wrong? How am I praying wrong? A crisis of, my puny actions are so puny compared to this wide systemic evil sin of racism. How in the world and in my Christianity can I begin to take seriously another lectionary text for today in 1 John 3:18? In response to the crucifixion and the resurrection, 1 John says, little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Truth and action? Truth and action in a country where violence against Black people is so pervasive that killings that seem unrelated are very much related, in fact. In 1969, Fred Hampton, a 21-year-old Black Panther leader in Chicago, was assassinated by Chicago cops on a raid in his home. Fred Hampton's mom had babysat Emmett Till. In 1955, Emmett was 14 years old when he was abducted, beaten, shot, mutilated, lynched, and thrown in the Tallahatchie River in Mississippi by two white men. In 2021, Second Lieutenant Peron Nazario was pepper sprayed and held at gunpoint in Virginia after a pretextual traffic stop. Lieutenant Peron Nazario's Hanai uncle was Eric Gardner. Eric Gardner was killed in 2014 by Staten Island police after being held in a chokehold. In 2020, George Floyd was murdered. George Floyd's former partner had been one of Dante Wright's teachers. Dante Wright's killing gave me an exact moment of brokenheartedness that led me to living and breathing Psalm 23, but not just for comfort. A great many of us feel a cocoon of comfort just hearing the opening words, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. She makes me lie down in green meadows. But 1 John 3:18 does not bid us to rest in comfort in light of Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection. It bids us to love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Psalm 23 lifts our hearts, but it also guides our truth seeking and our actions. It is a psalm full of movement. Here's some quick background. The references to green meadows conjures up for me summer fields of green grasses and acres of lavender in bloom. And yes, it smells as lovely as you have just imagined. But let's take a look at what the psalm conjured up to its original audience. A nomadic life, taking the flock over hills and rocky land to find the next pasture, a summer of constant close attention to the moving flock, an annual hard and dangerous circuit before coming home at the end of the hot, dry season. Psalm 23 is a restful comfort by still waters, and it is also a comfort for our not so restful times, our times of fighting princes and principalities, our everyday personal lives. Were you able to feel that movement listening to Bobby McFerrin? In Psalm 23 and in life, we are on the go. We had to have already journeyed in order to get to the still waters. We are led on paths of good things. We sing because our hearts are filled with songs. We walk, we eat, we are anointed. Bobby Morris, pastor of a South Carolina church and an adjunct professor of South Carolina of the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, says, Psalm 23 is far more about dynamic movement rather than quiet solitude, enduring trials rather than avoiding them, and life rather than death. I, having taken only a Hebrew for Dummies class sponsored by Kauai Hau Church, I turned to Joel Lamon, professor of Old Testament at Emory, for a clearer understanding of the language of this psalm. Professor Lamon explains this about the line, "Surely, surely, goodness and kindness will follow me." He writes, "The word follow is better translated pursue, a surprising verb given that it is usually the enemies that are pursuing the psalmist with an intent to overtake and destroy. Furthermore, the word surely is better translated only. Thus, it's not enemies in hot pursuit. Instead, only goodness and kindness will be chasing me down. And for the line, and I will dwell in her house forever, forever and ever, Professor Lamon noted that the Hebrew word that is traditionally translated dwell actually means to turn or return. He writes, given the prevalence of images of traveling throughout the psalm, it is most appropriate to read the last line this way. I will continually return to Yahweh's presence my whole life long. Thus, the journey does not end at the end of the psalm, rather seeking after God's presence is a lifelong enterprise, a long-term journey, end quote. After choosing Psalm 23 for our scripture, I came across a poem by Louise Glick entitled A Foreshortened Journey. Like Psalm 23, many interpret this poem in the context of dying. But like Psalm 23, this poem is more about dynamic movement, enduring trials, life rather than death. The word foreshortened can mean to cut short, but I invite us to apply the meaning used in fine arts, and that is using lines to convey three dimensions, applying the rules of perspective. Here is her prose poem. I found the stairs somewhat more difficult than I had expected, and so I sat down, so to speak, in the middle of the journey. Because there was a large window opposite the railing, I was able to entertain myself with the little dramas and comedies of the street outside, though no one I knew passed by, no one certainly who could have assisted me. Nor were the stairs themselves in use as far as I could see. You must get up, my lad, I told myself, since this seemed suddenly impossible. I did the next best thing. I prepared to sleep, my head and arms on the stair above, my body crouched below. Sometime after this, a little girl appeared at the top of the staircase, holding the hand of an elderly woman. Grandmother, cried the little girl, there is a dead man on the staircase. We must let him sleep, said the grandmother. We must walk quietly by. He is at that point in life at which neither returning to the beginning nor advancing to the end seems bearable. Therefore, he has decided to stop here in the midst of things. Though this makes him an obstacle to others, such as ourselves, but we must not give up hope. In my own life, she continued, there was such a time, though that was long ago, And here she let her granddaughter walk in front of her so they could pass me without disturbing me. I would have liked to hear the whole of her story, since she seemed, as she passed by, a vigorous woman, ready to take pleasure in life and at the same time forthright, without illusions. But soon their faces faded into whispers, or they were far away. "Will we see him when we return?" the child murmured. "He will be long gone by then," said her grandmother. "He will have finished climbing up or down, as the case may be." "Then I will say goodbye now," said the little girl. And she knelt below me, chanting a prayer I recognized as the Hebrew prayer for the dead. "Sir," she whispered, "my grandmother tells me you are not dead, but I thought perhaps this would soothe you in your terrors, and I will not be here to sing it at the right time. When you hear this again," she said, "perhaps the words will be less intimidating if you remember how you first heard them in the voice of a little girl." In this allegory of ordinary life, a man who can no longer go up or down, and so he sleeps. A vigorous woman, wise woman, remembers her own time facing an impossible task. A little girl embodies love. Her grandmother gives hope to the man for future movement, saying, "He will have finished climbing up or down, as the case may be." Psalm 23 and Glick's poem have so much in common. Both provide comfort, lots of movement, leading and following, glimpses of ordinary lives, hope, and food for the journey. Both do not require heroic actions. The shepherd walks through the dark and dreary land with his sheep. The man goes up or down the stairs. Through the ordinary, we move. As practicing Christians, we will move and we will be led by Jesus in front and chased by Jesus in the back. And this, friends, is not a totally comforting image, but it is our truth and our action. Quoting again from Professor Lamon, "Jesus is not only the good shepherd, but also the trailblazer of the paths of righteousness. Jesus tends us and guides us into right relationships with each other and with God. In the psalm, the paths of righteousness do not lead directly from the green pastures to the house of the Lord. No, those righteous ruts go through the very darkest valley. In Jesus' case, the paths of righteousness led all the way to the cross. Jesus has shown us that way and calls us to follow him. The good news of Psalm 23 is that when we walk these paths of righteousness, we walk with God. Please join me again in prayer. Good and loving shepherd, long ago, faithful women proclaimed the good news of Jesus's resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be as bold, our love as deep, and our faith as true. Glory be to our mother and daughter, and to the Holy of Holies, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us today. My name is Ellen Carson. As your lecturer, I'd like to share some thoughts on the history and future of the Church of the Crossroads and why we seek your financial help in our continuing ministry. We are living in transformative times. Did you know that we stand on the cusp of a new century of ministry for Crossroads? This wonderful church was conceived 100 years ago when in 1921, a group of high school students from McKinley High School and Mid-Pacific Institute began to pursue a dream of creating a place of worship that welcomed all ethnicities. All churches at that time were racially segregated, and these students instead sought to create an entirely new model of inclusive Christianity. By 1923, their dream became a reality when the Hawaii Board of Missions approved formation of the Church of the Crossroads as Hawaii's first interethnic church. Galen Weaver, a 23-year-old minister fresh out of seminary, took the helm of this new and overwhelmingly young group with audacious dreams of equality. Their core values embraced open minds and courageous actions. Church membership grew quickly to over 170 members. They were ethnically diverse and overwhelmingly young, most under 30 years of age. And yet by 1930, in the depths of the Depression, they had committed $50,000 to purchase property and to build this church. And the church they constructed, well, it wasn't your typical Christian church. The red loggia and beams are reminiscent of Japanese shrines in Torii-gate. The sanctuary's original bright blue tile roof calls to mind China's Temple of Heaven. The rings on the steeple evoke Buddhist prayer rings and itinerant monks. And the wooden carvings that grace our pulpit and lectern depict four of the world's great religions, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, and Zoroastrianism. During World War II, the church helped form the Mo'ili'ili Community Center to support the Japanese American community, which was being maligned and threatened. The church provided scholarship funds to Japanese Americans who were imprisoned on the mainland. It allowed them to leave the camps and attend college. And in 1968, Crossroads adopted a sanctuary resolution and created a contemporary city of refuge where enlisted soldiers protesting the Vietnam War sought refuge within the church walls. This resulted in the State Commission on Subversive Activities calling Crossroads a subversive activist organization of, quote, well-meaning but probably misguided citizens, end quote. Isn't that what the ruling class called Jesus and his disciples at that time? Military police raided the church campus and arrested everyone who was in sanctuary. Crossroads' time of sanctuary had ended, but its role of seeking peace and justice has been cemented in our DNA. 30 years ago in 1991, Crossroads conducted intensive study of its Christian duties toward peace, justice, and equality. 1 year later, the congregation unanimously adopted a covenant of peace through justice and an open and affirming covenant with a robust welcome to all persons who are LGBTQ. As we stand on the cusp of our next 100 years as a Crossroads community, we now have the opportunity to become the founders of this church community for our next century. What are our goals and aspirations? What bold vision and courageous actions do we need to take to get there? Well, Crossroads has begun a strategic planning process to assist us envisioning what kind of community we want to be and what priorities and programs we want to pursue for our future. Please take some time in the coming weeks to consider this challenge as a personal one. We invite you to participate in our mission teams as we chart our future course. I hope we can all respond with vision, courage, and inspiration, as these young people did for us 100 years ago. And if we do our job well, then 100 years from now, those who inherit this church can celebrate the mission and plans that we helped be able to set in motion for their future. So we invite you to generously donate to Crossroads as an investment in our present ministry, as well as in our future. We welcome your gifts, large or small. You can mail your donations to the Crossroads office, set up automatic monthly donations from your bank, or you can go online and push the donate buttons to be able to use your bank card or credit card. And as we look toward the long term, we also invite you to remember to put Crossroads into your will or estate planning as a personal legacy for this church's future. Help us to dream big. Thank you.
Okay. Specific feathers of Hawaii's native birds were prized for the capes and other regalia of Ali'i. Ke Kanikau na Kiamanu o Molokai is a lament for the traditional bird catchers. Usually at molting season, they trudged to the upland valleys where the earth is damp and yielding. Using long poles or kia, they applied the gum from ripe ulu among the branches of ohia trees. They would wait for the birds, in this case, the o'onukumu, a honey creeper last sighted in the late 1800s, to alight on the sticky branches. After skillfully plucking several tiny prized feathers from under each wing, they would let the bird fly free. This truly was sustainability. Feathers for a chief's cape had to be gathered and sewn over generations. Various factors led to the eventual extinction of the o'onukumu, including the infringement of non-native species on their natural habitats. However, this mele reflects the perception of the Molokai people of the time. Awe wakikapu mana poeha haimanu. Alas, the guns of those who hunt the birds. Nalo vale na manu e. Mai kapaapu oka ulula au. Vanished the birds, no longer gathered on the trees. Awe, or alas, laments the disappearance of the bird catchers and their way of life from Wailau Valley, from Pelekunu Valley. Aloha for the Kiamanu of Molokai.
our gifts, time and love to help bring your kingdom on earth, to offer compassion to those in need, and to share the good news of Jesus about a world that can be filled with love, peace, and justice. Help us to use these gifts wisely for that greater mission. Amen.
So we go forth into this day. If you listen carefully, you can hear a call from Jesus who says, come, follow me. Follow me in the ways of a love that will change this world. And if we falter on that journey, if we falter in that following, know as well that Jesus pursues us from behind in goodness and mercy to carry us forward, till we can step up, move forward, and follow along. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Francis, for sharing with us. Ellen, what a wonderful joy to hear that retelling of the last 100 years so wonderfully. And to Cheryl and Becca and all the folks that make this happen. Let's unmute ourselves for a moment and gather together, and then I'll send us off to our breakout rooms. So good to be with everyone this morning.
Hi, Brandon.
Yes, good to see everyone.
Good morning. Everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody.
Wonderful. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, Francis.
Thank you, Francis.
Mark.
Oh, my God.
Good to see everyone.
Francis.
John and
thank you,
Francis.
Hi, Francis.
Such a powerful poem.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you,
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Have a lovely week. Thank you, Francis.
Okay, folks, I'm sending you all to your breakout rooms. You know what to do. Here we go.